Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. This is Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Thank you for your support for 11 years. It was 2011, March 21st, when Culture Shock Entertainment Reports premiere right here on Blog Talk Radio. So the birthday will be Monday, the day after the first day of spring and our fabulous friend and co-host of the show. Also, my cousin Linda is a co-host that you usually hear from on Sundays, but she's always tuned in also, and you definitely should effectively network with her on social media, on Facebook, because she shares some awesome stuff. Michael Sunday, my brother, my biological brother, Harry McCall, a.k.a. Wyatt, as I call him, birthday is the 19th, Saturday. Friday was a great nephew that I've never met birthday, so sending out a big happy birthday out to him. And there are so many birthdays. I even have a future great niece coming soon too, so I am excited about that also. So happy spring is here. Shout out to those that are enjoying spring break and their vacations. I know friends of mine have been sharing pictures and all of their vacays and all. It's beautiful here in Jackson, Mississippi. The crazy weather has started also, which I don't think it ever stops. But we had like a crazy storm from like 3 to 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning. And the day has been a beautiful day since the storm ended. It was cloudy for a little bit, and so it's just been beautiful. So it is a beautiful first weekend, first Sunday, first official weekend of the beginning of spring here. But with, on the other hand, called me on Facebook Messenger from North Dakota. Showed me the snow outside, 4 to 5 feet. Of snow, it was like 30 below. Like, wow, like that is crazy. So a big shout out to all the friends of the show and listeners worldwide. Regardless if it's winter, spring, summer weather, just sending you much love. And let's also take a moment of silence. Michael is on call now, so before we kick in talking about what's on our mind and the topic on hand, very important topic, what resources are available to better assist our U.S. veterans. Veterans are very important to Michael and I. It was Michael's suggestion for us to talk about mental health and vets. And I'm from a military family full of vets. I participated in ROTC, JROTC, 8th and 9th grade years. And I must tell you, those, your kids, regardless if they plan to go in the military as a career, some people do, sometimes JROTC influence people, kids to make military a career. And but one thing about it, it is very good teaching discipline. Teaching discipline. And I am so happy today that I did experience JROTC. But again, many of my uncles, my late brother, my brother-in-law in Dallas, shout out to Trader Rich, who owns out of Africa Imports in Dallas. He's a Vietnam vet. My uncles, you know, served different branches, Army, Navy, Air Force. I have cousins that are still in it, but are time to retire, and some who have retired in recent years. And my late brother, he served 4 years. But our veterans, they they have many resources. Many of my friends, they take advantage of their local, of the local VA, and but then also we do know so many of us see our veterans homeless, see our veterans struggling, and our educators and our veterans, they, and any of us in America should not be struggling for anything, really, the leader of the free world. But in reality, that's the truth. Our veterans and those of us that are so grateful for their service, it's important to know the resources available and also to seek to understand and not pass judgment. Also, because like I said, Michael mentioned how the importance of us talking about our schools, our mental health issues, dealing with our educational system, and also dealing with vets. And I posted some videos earlier tonight regarding post-traumatic syndrome, and it's a wealth of information for those of us that want to help. I just want to provide, be resourceful and provide information. So Michael will be talking a lot about veterans and mental health, and we'll just be talking about resources that are available also to our U.S. veterans. Last year I was invited to an event in Pentagon, as a matter of fact, Veterans Affairs, where my late mother was. So I'm going in honor of my mother. And I'm so much looking forward to visiting D.C. for the first time and attending this briefing when they reschedule it, when COVID and everything is all, you know, when it's safe, whenever they get the okay to have the event and the briefing. So I'm looking forward to that with the Veterans Affairs. But it's time to get Michael on air, and Sunday we will talk sports and other hot topics. I'm not surprised. I don't know why so many are surprised that Tom Brady is unretired. I never did believe it in the first place. And I told you also from the beginning. I even tweeted him, even tagged him in my comments on Twitter that I did not think he was retiring, that he have another 2 or 3 years. No way in heck Tom Brady will retire after he had a successful year, but he didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, when he wins a Super Bowl within the next 2 or 3 years, then we will hear his announcement with a full-blown press conference, not just a tweet. I'm just saying, if I was a betting woman, I should have put money on that. Because I would have a lot of money. Because even one of our local anchor guys even said he would believe it, the new season began and Tom Brady is not on the field. Duh. But I figured maybe he was trying to save his marriage. Or, you know, happy wife, happy life. But how can you have a happy life if you know you're physically fit and you should be playing what doing the job you love? So thank God his wife and family, dad and all. Even from his dad's comments early on, I knew Tom wasn't retiring. You know, I believe Tampa knew he wasn't going to retire. But so many people went to judgment, literally saying he's retiring. So I felt then when he made that announcement, he was like, okay, they keep saying I'm retiring. I'm just gonna put it out there that I'm retiring. You know, because he was still in his thinking right after the last game played mode, thinking things out, getting relaxed. And so many people were pressuring him. Tell us, hurry up, you're retiring. Okay, so he just gave some people what they wanted. And, you know how some people, you know how you, all of us are. Sometimes we just agree with things to shut people up. That's all I'm saying. I'm just leaving it at that. But I'm so happy. He was my one of, he was my mother's favorite player. And I know she's in heaven happy. And I am happy, too, to see someone fulfill their dreams and finish their career on top. I mean, even Russell Wilson recently, when he and Ciara appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel show, stated that he invested $1 million into his body so he can play until he's 45, 13 more years left in his career. He's planning to work even longer than Tom is. Tom is, what, 43 or whatever his age, but he's planning on continuing on to 45. And he's investing $1 million yearly into his physique to do so. So, yeah. But we would talk about the – I see – oh, surprisingly, Cousin Linda's on with us, too, this late Friday night. So let me put them on air. Thank you all so much for your love and support. Celebrating 11 years again on Monday, the 21st. And so happy international listeners. You are just awesome. I'm surprised and loving some of the places that are in the top 10 that support us. And just thank you, those of you that are in D.C. area, Dallas, here in Jackson, Mississippi, where, woo, it's so much going on, so much going on everywhere. So let's take a moment of silence, and then Cousin Linda and Michael, I'm going to close my trap to talk, you know, share some info. Hopefully you all call in 516-595-8255, 516-595-8255. And again, shout out to all our loved ones. Shout out to Terry and his family. Shout out to all our relatives, and shout out to Michael and my brother as they celebrate their big birthday weekends. And it's so many birthdays. That could be a show itself, a birthday show. And also in the near future, we're going to have an open mic. Share your talents. Share poetry. Michael is musically inclined. He can sing. I have yet heard it. So hopefully with open mic, he'll share some song with us live on air. So that should be fun. So let's have a good time and fun when it's time for that. And we do have the Oscars coming up next weekend. So, of course, within the next week, we'll be talking about Oscars and our predictions and how excited we are to see a live show with live hosts on next Sunday. Well, thank you. And let's have a moment of silence and get this show started. You're tuned in to Cluster Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, with co-host Ms. Linda Oliver of Dallas and Mr. Birthday Guy Michael Stevens Jr. of Maryland.
Hey.
Birthday.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Hello. Hello, I'm so surprised and happy Cousin Linda called in. Yay. I thought you might have called in when I saw your thumbs up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy weekend. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday weekend.
Oh, yeah. I happened to be on Facebook and I saw that you were having a late night show, and I said, well, I'm going to do all I can to stay up. And I kept calling in, and I kept hearing the music. I said, I'm going to try one more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Mhm.
Yeah. But it's kind of
so our topic for tonight, we're talking about yes, Michael.
So I was saying it's kind of funny that you're talking about veterans, because Josh and I have a friend. Ooh,
You suggested it a month ago, let's talk about veterans and mental health, and that's something that's important to Cousin Linda. Again, we're from a military family, and that is something important for us to talk about. So I'm like, well, let's talk about resources, period, that are available to our veterans. So you and Josh have a friend.
Yeah, me and Josh have a friend who I'm not going to say his name, but Josh knows who I'm talking about. But he was actually Josh's best friend. And they were like really, they were like Kid and Play, if you remember Kid and Play in a way. So
I love Kid and Play. You know, I remember.
Yeah. So you can imagine which one was which. But so what happened was he went into the Marines, and he just after he left the Marines, he just started getting distant and very like antisocial, and he had like an issue with his leg or something, he injured his leg or whatnot. And so then Josh had told me that this particular friend was going on Facebook saying that my friends are no good and all this other stuff. And so then it's just like he just started being distant. And I think he has post-traumatic stress, that friend. And, he just has not been the same. So I've seen the impact of the mental health of people who join the Marines. And, I'm not dissing the Army or the services, but they do not take care of some of the people that like go overseas, because a lot of times you hear stories about how they go overseas and then they come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they look the same, but their mind ain't right, you know. And it's been going on
right.
Since Vietnam, you know, even though I was not alive during Vietnam, but and even I've heard cases. I'm friends with some people who served in Iraq, so.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Vietnam, because I was thinking about that as you were speaking, and I was around during Vietnam, and I went to college with quite a few Vietnam veterans, and they thought that they were acting normally, however, they were not. And I used to like to play cards in the card room at Jackson State. And a lot of the veterans came in to play cards, and they would get upset. And I don't know. I mean, it was beyond just regular card playing anger. And so I would go toe-to-toe with them. I'd argue back with them, and one of my card-playing friends would say, Linda, you better leave him alone. At that time, they weren't saying PTSD. They were saying shell shock. Girl, you know he's shell shocked. You better leave him alone. You better leave him alone. And listening to some of the stories that the guys would tell when we were in class, like in college, you know, you have to write a lot of papers. And it got to the point where when the Vietnam veterans would do their paper read orally or recite something orally, we'd be like, oh, Lord, another Vietnam story. But that war had a lot of horrible things going on. And I don't know, well, you all are probably too young to remember the My Lai Massacre. And one of the guys that I knew who was there at My Lai, they had Captain Lieutenant Callie, who was stationed at Fort Benning during the time I was married. But he had, I think he was confined to house arrest or something, and he was in charge, if I'm not mistaken, during the My Lai Massacre, where the troops went in and just shot up this village of nothing but civilians. They were old people and babies and everything, and they just went in, and the troops went in and just shot up the village. And they said the orders were...
I see that. I haven't pulled up.
Okay.
It was exactly March the 16th, 1968.
68, yeah. don't leave nothing walking, uh-huh. talking, or growing. And that affected a lot of people. And then the guy that I knew.
Women were gang raped and their bodies mutilated, I see, and children
uh-huh.
and men, infants even. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And like I said, one of the guys that I had known when I was in school, I saw him. This was when they first started hiring blacks at, like, the bank and the phone company and everything. And so this guy that I had known when I was in school, I won't call his name because I don't know who's listening. But anyway,
yeah.
he seemed
right.
You know, he was at the My Lai Massacre thing, and he seemed very, very normal,
wow.
good-looking guy. And he married someone who used to be a friend of mine. And I don't know, when they got a divorce, everybody was just shocked, like, why'd they get a divorce? Well, after that, he committed suicide, which was very unusual for black people. We just were not committing suicide back then. And so the lady that
right.
he married, who a friend of mine, was telling me how difficult it was to live with him. I think he was having flashbacks or whatever from being at My Lai, and he probably just couldn't cope with it. But, it, I mean, that was one of the most horrible events of the Vietnam War. And I think
mm-hmm.
that started.
I pulled it up, and it is crazy.
We were already protesting the war. You know, people were like, hell no, we won't go. And LBJ, hey, ho, ho, how many men, how many babies have you killed a day and all that? I mean, it was horrible, worse than Iraq and all these other wars. And it's equivalent to me of what's going on now with Ukraine, how Russia is just bombing hospitals and
right.
schools and stuff. Yeah, we were guilty
as
of
I
some
read,
of the same thing.
As I read the story, it sounds just like today, dealing with Russia and Ukraine. 26 soldiers mm-hmm. were charged with criminal offenses, a lieutenant, a platoon leader. And, were found guilty of murdering 22 villagers. And they were originally given life sentence, but served 3.5 years under house arrest after President Nixon commuted their sentences. So I wonder, where are those guys now? Wow, that
probably
is crazy that they gang raped some women and mutilated them and killed babies. Wow, that is crazy. Definitely a war crime.
Yeah, they said the orders were don't leave nothing walking, talking, or growing. And they said they were even shooting up the grass.
Oh, my goodness.
And
exactly happened. And I see the anniversary was Wednesday, the 16th. Mom was pregnant with me when this happened, March 16, 1968. Wow.
I had no idea, but when I was listening to Michael, and I was just thinking of it, I can imagine how something traumatic like that would really affect a person, because when, you know, you're not a murderer, you're not a killer, but when you're in war, it's killed or be killed. It's killed or be killed, rather. And I don't know. I don't think I could sleep knowing that I've killed, especially an person. Now, it'd be something different. You know, if I'm fighting the enemy and the enemy is coming after me and I kill in self-defense or something. But when you just take the life of innocent people, like women and children and villagers, and just slaughter, yeah, I think that would be
wow.
very difficult for the average person to deal with.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at Wikipedia, and the image that they're showing, the image that they're showing of dead kids and women on a road is just crazy. So to when I go into the other stories, I know the pictures are going to be just sickening, because this one picture sickening that I'm looking at right now.
I wanted to tell you all a story, because and this has something to do with the mental health of soldiers and stuff. So About 10 years ago, or 10 years or so ago, back in 2010, I used to work at a summer camp, and I met this man who was really one of the nicest people at the Christian camp. So eventually, he joined the Air Force, and he was always talkative. He was always friendly, and we talk about just about anything. But he would just talk about just be one of very my charismatic. So something happened where he eventually, his brother had contacted me and told me that he was in a mental asylum. And, I was honored that he told his brother to call me and tell me that he was in a mental asylum. So I noticed that he would talk to me about God a lot, and I don't have no problem with that, but like this was like 2016, he was just really into God. It was like to the point where you know watch your back, you know, fear is out there and all this stuff, death is out there. I'm like, would you stop texting me? And because it was getting on my nerves. So I was about to say his name, but forgive me, but I said, such and such, can you please stop texting me, because you know I'm starting to get worried about your mental state. He went off on me. He was like, you queer, you this, you that, and the other. Don't, how dare you betray me and everything. And then he was talking about coming to DC to get me and all this stuff. So what I did, I pressed charges on him. Because you don't know what people will do. So I looked him up and I realized he had a mental illness, because I saw his mugshot, and his mugshot, he had like a long beard, long hair. And that is the symptoms of someone who has some type of, mental illness, you know, a person who has long hair and they grow their beard out. And I was looking at his crime, sheet, and it said that he was got in trouble for trespassing, breaking in and entering. And I'm like, what happened? And it's just an example that the U.S. Armed Forces doesn't, some branches of it does not take care of the people who are working with them. You know, when you go overseas, and now I understand why mothers don't want their kids to go, you know, and you know, but it's just that I think that we need to make it more accessible to, make the mental health stuff more accessible to people who have served overseas and served in the U.S. Armed Forces, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly, because I'm thinking about what happened earlier this year with the Hell Week with the Navy SEALs. Hell Week, and then... two died. That's crazy.
A lot of helicopter crashes too on training missions. I don't know if it's the Osprey or those Black Hawk helicopters or whatever. It's too many training accidents that happen. And then when people are discharged or whatever from the military and with medical conditions, you know, they don't want to give them the disability benefits. A lot of benefits are denied, and they know these people need like the guys that suffered from Agent Orange, and a lot of them had cancer and the VA would deny them medical benefits. And then Vietnam, a lot of the guys back hooked on drugs, they were either drug addicts or alcoholics, but they were trying to cope with all the stuff that they had done and that they had seen. And there was a lot of fragging going on in Vietnam. And we didn't know what fragging was, you know, civilians. But from these veterans who, like I said, when I was at Jackson State, they always had a Vietnam story in class. And fragging was when they go out on these missions or whatever you call them, they would just kill somebody. Like, Beth, if you and I had a disagreement and I was really upset with you, mm-hmm. under normal circumstances, I'd get over it. But no, if we were out on a mission, whatever, you know, I'm like, I'm mad at her. I'm just going to go ahead and kill her. and officers,
right.
The enlisted men were killing officers because they were angry with them. And I saw that movie Platoon. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what happened in Platoon. At the end, Willem Dafoe got killed. I forget the other actor's name. I think he was angry with Willem Dafoe about something. They had had a disagreement, and he shot and killed him out on one of those missions or whatever they're called.
Right.
So it makes you do all kind of crazy things. And then I saw The Deer Hunter, which was a movie about Vietnam.
And another military film I liked was Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, I saw that one, but I can't remember what happened. It escaped me.
Yeah, they share many different experiences, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, oh my goodness, I have another story, you guys, if you don't mind hearing. So I had a friend.
Please.
Yeah, I had another friend who I was kind of intimate with when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And this friend had joined the, eventually we stopped talking because we had got intimate. And, you know, because, you know, when you have hookups or whatever, it messes up friendships. So that's all I could say because we talked about that. So we didn't talk for like 9 years. Yeah, we didn't talk for 9 years. We didn't talk for 9 years. So one day I noticed that he sent me a friend request on Facebook. And every time I messaged him, he didn't respond back. So it took years for him to respond. So he told me that he was in the Navy, and he told me that he does not handle stress very well. And also I saw that he gained a lot of weight, and he has a child. So then he confided in me. He was like, you know, I think I might be bisexual. And I'm like, you know, he was like, I don't want to let my wife know and everything. And I'm like, you know, I think that you should definitely talk to a professional, you know, because if you served with the Navy, they should have somebody able for you to talk to. He told me that he's on a waiting list and he's been waiting for months. And I'm like, if I were you, I would be infuriated. I mean, because it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I mean, you served your country, but yet you're on a waiting list? That makes no sense. I would be outraged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we can see an example of this. I don't know if you all seen
that
movie.
You would think counselors would be on hand, easily accessible to talk with.
Yeah.
No, understand.
You would think that.
Because I mean, the VA hospital, you know, physical ailments or disabilities or whatever, they don't have enough people on staff at the VA hospital for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that he can't get the help that he needs.
And you know, also, too, I don't know if you all seen the movie Full Color Women.
And I do have some veteran friends that try. I do have some veteran friends like many of you that do take full advantage of do their best to take full advantage of their resources. But like you two are sharing, there are some that try to get their full benefits and their services from being in service or veterans. And like you're saying, Cousin Linda, either they're short of staff, and then, Michael, that is crazy not to have a counselor that you can assess immediately regarding any issues that you're dealing with. Wow.
And also, have you guys seen the movie For Colored Girls? Tyler Perry, he produced it or directed it or something. Have you all seen that movie?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg is in it, Felicia Rashad, and Janet Jackson. Yeah, well, there was a scene in the movie where who was played by Michael Ealy, and he was he's a Leo too, so that's probably why you like him.
And he's beautiful. Yeah, and I love him in Beyonce's video too.
Yeah, and he's from DC area too. So there was a scene where he was drinking, and because he served overseas and he was underemployed and he was angry. And don't you know, in the movie, I know this is just a movie, he took the kids, he put the kids, and he dragged them out the window and dropped them. like every.
I did see that movie.
Yeah.
I figured you hate Cousin Linda.
Yeah, even though that's a dramatization, but stuff like that happens every day. And I think that movie
My brother-in-law, Tommy, my late sister's husband, he's a Vietnam vet, and they helped raise me, too, and I would spend summers there in Dallas with Cousin Linda and my sister and my late sister and her husband. And he's a Vietnam vet, and I... Cousin Linda, remember, I used to love nightlights. And I know Diane used to tell me, Bethany, if you wake up in the dark, do not wake up screaming. Because Tommy is a vet, and he will have flashbacks that he's back in the war. And I don't want him to, you know, freak out and grab his gun or anything. So she's like, keep your nightlight on. I'm cool with the dark now, those that's wondering. But I used to love nightlights. And this was in Dallas, and she said, please, do not wake up screaming if you're in the dark, because Tommy will freak out because he have flashbacks and so on. And also there's an issue with vets having committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And see, Michael and Cousin Linda, you make a good point. Short staffs and not having accessibility to counselors, that might be a couple of the reasons why vets are committing suicide, too, because they're not getting the assistance that they need to be able to talk with people.
And also it could be toxic masculinity too, because a lot of men, I'm not saying all men, but a lot of men have pride, you know, issues with pride, and they think that if you talk about your feelings, it's going to make you weak. No, it doesn't, you know?
And some things with the military, they have to talk with the Veterans Affair, because so much information is classified that because I know some of our kinfolk, you know, Cousin Linda, even Uncle James, as close as he was to Cousin Linda and I, he was limited to even what he could tell us that he experienced. Our veterans have so much classified info that they're taken to their graves with them, too. So that is sad that Veterans Affairs does not have have counselors accessible, because Veterans Affairs is all some of them have to talk to, because they can't tell us things that they've experienced.
Just regular stuff, because back on me lie, you know, Beth, I told you I was married, living in Fort Benning, Georgia at the time, where Lieutenant Callie, who took the blame for all that, I think he was following orders from a higher-ranking officer. But anyway, he was under house arrest at Fort Benning. And I was talking to Glenn about it, and he said, you can't talk about that. I'm a civilian. How can I talk about it? Because he's like, I'm an officer, and we're not allowed to talk about it. I'm like, well, I ain't no officer, and I ain't in the military. But he literally would not let me talk about it. Callie is here. I mean, it was all over the news. He was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. But I still couldn't talk about it to my husband, because my husband was an officer in the military.
Being an officer's wife, you have your privileges, and you had your...
a lot of things that he would tell me that I couldn't do because I was an officer's wife. Now, he didn't tell me this before we got married. I found all this stuff out that I couldn't do and say after we got married.
Right.
So, the military has control over a whole bunch of things. I certainly didn't think it would affect me, but it did.
Right. But then officer's wife, I mean, that's you know, top of the line position. So they treated you as you were him. You are him. You can't talk about anything. You're like, I can, it's on the news. I can talk about it. And he was like, no. Wow.
And you know what? And it's also funny that you talk about, that we're talking about this topic, because I had a friend who was almost like a father to me some years ago. He passed away in 2014. And I'll say his name. His name was Sam Kilpatrick, and he was a Pisces just like me and everything. He was born March 1st, and he took pictures of me when I was in my 20s and everything. And he, because I used to work at a grocery store, and he was one of the nicest customers ever, you know, and, you know, he was really nice. So I remember he used to take me on base because in Maryland there is a base called Fort Meade. And at the time I had lived in Laurel. And, you know, he eventually moved to, like, North Carolina or Texas, one of them. And we would always talk about me coming to visit him. And I think had he not died, it would have really happened. I don't know the surroundings of his death, but I think that when he was overseas, he must have had gotten attacked or something, or something must have blew up. And I'm still friends with his wife. He took one of my pictures. It was used to be my headshot on Facebook, and it was a picture of me in the praying position. He took that picture of me, and
I like that picture. Oh yeah, that's a beautiful picture. It was your profile for a long time.
Yeah, it was back in that picture was taken in 2009, and
I love
that
picture. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And the thing was, too, that I think I had some type of psychic connection with him, too, because around the time that he died, like around October 20-ish of 2014, I just broke down into tears. I don't know why. I do not know why.
Wow.
You know, I just broke down in tears because I think that was a little connection I had with him. But you know, he knew that I was gay and everything, and he would sometimes tease me. He was like, "What you wearing?" And I'm like, "Sam, would you stop playing?" You know, stuff like that. And I tell you, I miss him. And I tell you, I've met some interesting people who have served in the U.S. Armed Forces and everything. So I was just thinking about him and just to celebrate his birthday this month too, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. All of our family members, Cousin Linda, tell you that have been in the military, and they are amazing too and have some amazing stories. I know our Uncle Herman, he cooked in the military, right, Cousin Linda? And he's still so he's amazing.
Uncle Mutt
was military. Uncle Mutt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And now which branch was he in? Who was in the Navy? Was that Uncle Herman?
No, Uncle Herman was in the Air Force. He enlisted, and Uncle Mutt was in the Army. He got drafted.
Oh.
Yes, and Uncle. Oh, that's how he got in. And Uncle James was Air Force, and his daughter did both. And his daughter did Air Force and Army. Cousin Linda, Cousin Michael did West Point. So that was awesome. Mm-hmm. He did West Point, and he went to Korea as an officer. Yeah, and then after that, he and one of his friends opened their own business in Atlanta. Then we have Cousin Michael, who was Navy, and Betty kids, Evelyn and Daryl. They what branches? Because they both made
Evelyn,
a career out of that.
Evelyn was in the Air Force.
And
I don't know what she served in. And that Uncle Dub was in the Navy.
Right.
So I think he would have enlisted. I think the Army and the Marines were the ones that drafted people.
Oh my goodness!
And my brother and Chris did 4 years Army. He was stationed in Georgia, Fort Benning or Fort Gordon. One of them. Sometimes I think about looking up some of his old training camp buddies. Then he did 3 years in Frankfurt, Germany. 3 years in Frankfurt, Germany.
You know, Bethany, I'm looking at what you posted. I'm looking at what you posted about another death during Navy SEALs Hell Week. Oh my goodness, the picture is horrible.
In February, and see in February, the Navy SEALs had that Hell Week, and like two guys died. They made it through the week. One died immediately after completing Hell Week, and then I thought the second one was going to pull through, but he passed away. Mm-hmm. And so that Navy SEALs training, just think of. I mean, they're lucky, they blessed to make it through it. But think about when Navy SEALs, what they go through.
Yeah, they had some females who tried out for that or either one of those extensive branches of Marines, and they just couldn't make it.
Right, and another, we mentioned military movies. Another one was the one that, oh, my goodness, Bruce Willis' ex-wife.
Demi Moore.
Oh. About being the female, the female experience in the military. That's a good film too. It gives us a little insight. Those of us that have no idea what females experience when they're trying to move up the ranks.
When I came to college, James tried to get me to enlist in the Air Force. You know, and sometimes I look back and regret that I didn't enlist in the Air Force because of the benefits. But I knew that I couldn't take orders. And I remember, you know, my stepfather, AJ, was in the Army, and he hated it.
That's what I thought. He was a veteran, too.
And he would say things like the sergeant, the DI, the drill instructor, you know, they could call you all kinds of names, talk to you any kind of way. I don't think they can do that anymore. But he just hated it, and so that was one reason I didn't want to go into the military. And they were saying for a woman, it was way worse than it would be for a man, you know, because they could do anything to you, and you had no rights. You couldn't say anything, and if you did, they would put you out, and you did not want to get anything less than an honorable discharge. And so when James, I went to visit James, that was my treat to myself when I graduated from college, and I went to visit James. He was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. And I can see us now. We were sitting at a bar in one of the casinos.
And he loved being stationed there,
Yeah, he said, now, what are you going to do now that you graduated from college? And I said, I don't know. Well, probably just keep working at the phone company. I'm not going to teach. He said, why don't you join the Air Force? You'll go in as an officer, second lieutenant. And I said, I can't take orders because my stepfather had told me that you cannot question an order. And Beth, I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, you can't tell me to just do something, because my thing is, well, why? Well, I may not want to do that.
Me too, and you know that's me.
Uh-huh. And so I was like, I can't function like that. And they were like, you cannot question an order. Even if you know that the order is wrong, it could have disastrous effects. You cannot disobey an order. You will get put out of the military with less than honorable discharge, and that ruins you for life. And I said, no, even if I went in as an officer, I'd be at the bottom of the totem pole. So that means, you know, I'd have to take orders from all these people who outranked me. And I said, I just can't do it because I have to say why, or I don't want to do that. I don't think that's a good idea. No. And you can't do that in the military.
So that better explains why. Right. So that better explains why your cousin, my late brother, Christopher Dale, who passed away, Michael, a year and a half after he got out of service. My brother, I had a brother that passed away, and that's another topic we're talking about in the near future, about when we're talking about exercise and health, Mike. But I had a brother who passed away, picture health, from hypertension in 83 when I was 14. But that's something that Chris had told me when I was JROTC 8th and 9th grade. When he had got back, I was just loving it so much. As much as I loved my history and my sales and marketing classes and art classes and and been focused on fashion and business, I'm like, Chris, I'm really loving JRTC. I say some of my friends are considering making it a career. I say I'm even thinking, hey, to continue on in high school and see what happens, you know. And Michael, you know, he was accepted at West Point. And Chris told me what Uncle AJ told you. He was like, no, Bethany, I do not advise you to do that. And Chris, no to it. Hey, my goodness, I had to take the telephone from you, your phone privileges from you. You're not going to be able, I guess he wanted to say that, how are you going to be able to take orders from anybody? So I'm better understanding why Chris was, he didn't recommend me to make a career out of going, making a JR, military career. He was glad I was being disciplined in JROTC, but he did not think that that would work for me. And so they, Uncle AJ, Chris, they knew us. You can't question authority. We can give the orders. Hey, that would be fun. But taking the orders, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. My mother would, you know, tell me to do something. Sometimes she'd ask me and sometimes she'd tell me. I'm like, well, why? Well, at least, you know, she'd say, because so-and-so and so. And then sometimes she'd say, because I'm your mother and I said so. But I, you know, as a child, a lot of times I was like, well, why, Mama, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And she'd indulge me. But then again, you know, she put that foot down and said, because I'm your mother. But in the military, you can't ever say, well, why? I don't think that's right. I don't want to do that. Not to say that I ranked you. And I said, I just can't, I can't see myself doing it. I just couldn't.
And then that's another point that you and Michael are making. I mean, it just takes away from people individuality.
That's too much discipline. I remember when I was a little boy, my father would look down at me and say, you know, you're going to join the service, you know, because I was just thinking about it as you all were talking, was my uncle, my father's oldest brother was in the service like back in the early 70s. And guess what? Just like Miss Linda just said, when he left the service, he ended up with a huge drug problem. A huge drug problem.
See, Cousin Linda mentioned that. Either they didn't come back with the stress problem, post-traumatic stress, hooked on drugs. Cousin Linda, I know mother would tell me about her couple of years at Mid-South Bible College, because they used to help the veterans, and she would tell me some stories about those Vietnam vets that would come in there and either were becoming barbers and even some of the customers. You know, some those Vietnam guys, that's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when I graduated high school, your uncle was hooked on drugs. Yeah, so when I graduated high school, like a couple of years after I graduated high school, a lot of these strange men would come up to me, and they would just shake my hand. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember one morning I was at McDonald's, and then this guy comes up to me, and he had a suit on. I was like, oh, you know what, sir, I'm not really interested. But when I was in my later 20s, I felt like my life was going into circles and stuff. And so I said, why don't I just join? You know, why don't I just join? But then I was thinking, you know, maybe what if I end up with, you know, mental problems or something like that? And I was worried about that. And, you know, and it's just like, I think with the service, they know who they want. They know who they want because I got interviewed by a recruiter. He asked me a bunch of questions, but he never called me back. He never called me back.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and maybe that was a good thing. But, you know, I, like you said, Miss Linda, I don't like people yelling at me. I don't like people getting in my face telling me what I don't do. And, you know, I just don't do good with that. So I just realized that might not be the place for me because, you know, going off topic a little bit, I went to a church where people said, oh, you're being too sensitive just because I talk to you this way. I mean, you know, really, because if I cuss you out, you're going to be talking about how ungodly I am, you know. So, and, you know, I know that I would not do good in the service, you know. So, you know, even though the two are different, but they're similar in example, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some churches put restrictions on their members. My friend and I talk about that all the time, and I hope I don't step on anybody's toes. But Church of God in Christ, this thing about women can't wear makeup, you can't wear pants, you can't wear just certain pieces of jewelry and all. And I'm like, what does that have to do with the scripture? And they mistakenly say women can't wear pants because the Bible says a woman should not liken herself to a man or with a man or whatever. I said, but pants weren't even invented when the Bible or the scriptures were written. So that doesn't make sense. And what does wearing a little makeup have to do with anything? It's what's in your heart. And as long as you're not there, you know, trying to sit on the front row and tempt the preacher, I just don't get it. But you like you're saying, Michael, there are people in the church and they want to impose their views on you, and they think, you know, you're demon-possessed, I guess, if you disagree with them. And I just have to question even the preacher. If I think he's wrong, or if I think maybe from what I've been taught and he's teaching the scriptures incorrectly, which a lot of them do, I might have to challenge you on that. Now, you know, I probably, if it's a minister, I'm not going to say it out in front of a group of people, but I do want to talk to him in the pastor's study and say, Pastor, I think you're wrong on that. This is not what the scriptures are saying. But some people will follow a leader, hook, line, and sinker, no questions asked, but I'm just not the one who can do that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like about control, because I was just talking to somebody at my job, and they were saying that they used to be in the service, and when you forget to salute somebody, and matter of fact, I was talking to my mentor, and he was saying that when you forget to salute somebody, you get cussed out, and they'll be like all up your in your face and everything.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
You have to follow those strict rules and regulations. And if an officer, no matter where he is or what he's doing or whatever, you have to do what he says. Because I remember I was on with Glenn, my ex-husband, and whatever was going on, we wanted to capture the moment, save it for memory, and I always had my camera with me. And so we wanted somebody to take our picture. Nobody was around. Well, lo and behold, here comes this little enlisted man, and so Glenn asked him to come over and take the picture. And he had the nerve to say, sir, I'm late for wherever he was going, and I mean Glenn lit into him. It's like, you know, you don't like that. He said, I want you to take a picture of my wife and me, and you better take this picture. And the guy had to stop and take a picture of Glenn and me. But I guess I don't know what happened when he got to where he was going, because he said he was late, so he probably called hell wherever he was going.
And then when he got there, he got reprimanded.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I would like to know how that day went. Wow.
Uh-huh. Glenn was, real pissed off. I was like, how dare he? Who does he think he is? You can't talk back to an officer. That's the way he said he was late. I don't care.
And then that's not even talking back. He just said, I'm late. But, oh, my God, if you differ any way, you are in trouble. Wow.
Yeah,
the three of us, we couldn't. So we're shouting out all you, all of our military people. We thank you and officers, you guys and girls in blue, because the three of us, we just salute you all. Those of you in that are first responders and serving the military.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
yeah,
I am surprised at how nice some of the people are who have served in the service, because I remember a number of years ago, this was like 2014.
Oh, our family members are some of the nicest. So
yeah,
I can't wait till you come down here and visit with us.
I remember back in 2014, I was eating at an all-you-can-eat buffet. And this guy, this guy had a army suit on or whatnot, and I was just eating my food, and he was like, "Hey, sir, do you mind if I come over and sit with you and talk to you?" I was like, "I don't care." I mean, but in the back of my mind, I was hoping that he would talk to me. I mean, not because I liked him or anything, but you know, I was just eating or whatever, and he held a conversation
right.
with me just like. Yeah, and I knew he was from down south because people, like I said, this is my feeling, people from like Texas and maybe even where you guys are from, they are more social. You know, they're more social. It might throw us off, but, you know.
But Mississippi? Yeah. Mississippi is a hospitality state, and I love Dallas so much because Cousin Linda can't believe this is my viewpoint, because the people have so much hospitality and just so open arm to people. I'm like, Mississippi might be the hospitality state, but Texas, oh my God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we thank you on that. And we thank
yeah,
you on
only,
that and continue.
I tell you, the only thing I don't like about Texas is the man who's running it. That's about it.
Oh, Cousin Linda, he is pissed about the
What did you say, Miss
Linda? Big shout out. Big election.
We need to change the subject in a hurry. Don't give me
something.
We're going to go big apple.
Okay.
On Sunday, we'll talk about all of that in sports.
But the guy, he was from, I think he was from Texas, and he had a full-on conversation with me about what it was like for him to be in the services. And, you know, I was just, like, amazed at how friendly he was. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this guy, he is definitely not from here. And I'm glad that he had a conversation with me, but I was just blown away at how friendly he was. And, you know, and another thing I was going to say, too, was that when I used to work at the movie theater some years ago, the guy who used to be the security guard, I think his name is Greg. Yeah, Greg. And he's actually from Texas, like where Miss Linda is at. And he served in Iraq. He served in Iraq, and he's about 4 years younger than me. And I tell you, it was when we were talking, it was almost like we were high school schoolmates. And I've never met him before, but you know, he's just so fun to just hang out with and everything. And I just am so surprised that people in the services are so nice, because when I think of, you know, you dealing with a drill sergeant, I'm thinking that you're angry.
I'm doing a podcast.
But yeah, I thought that they were would be angry and you know just mean and aloof. But one good thing about it is that when I used to live in Laurel, some of my neighbors were military people, and let me tell you something. It was this one neighbor.
Okay,
Let me make a comment.
Yeah. The live stream is 1 minute and 40 seconds, but we'll continue on for probably another 15 minutes. That means the live stream cuts off. That's when callers can't call in anymore, but they can still hear the show.
Oh, okay. So what I was saying, and I'm going to end real quick, but it's like they really get their sleeping, because this one neighbor that I had, he would wake up 5 in the morning, go to Fort Meade base, and he would be home by 2 p.m., and he would just be asleep. He'd just go in there and sleep. I'm like, wow, this man must lead the good life. He said there's some days where he does not sleep for 3 days. I'm like, wow, no wonder why you always sleep. You know? So it seemed like from a perspective, his life is a lot easier. But you know, I know when he goes to sleep, he loves it. You know? So Wow.
Military people aren't nice, you know, but they're extremely disciplined, and some of them can be rigid, because I've had teachers who were, you could tell they're ex-military, because I think they were a little bit too strict for elementary or junior high school students. You have to be a little bit flexible and kind of halfway nice, but some of them were just too strict. And it's that military background that they have, because they're accustomed to being regimented. And especially for those lifers, the ones that retire, you can't get that strictness out and regiment. I can't think of the word, but anyway, you can't get it out of them. It seems like they are just that way. But, yeah, you know, some people, it's been wonderful, and the benefits are great. But I don't know, it just wasn't something that I wanted to try to risk on myself.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I do not blame you, because, you know, you have a lot of these people, and I'm not saying this is for all people who served in the service, but you have some of these people who have training and gun, and those are the same, you know, shooting gun, and they're the same ones that's going around shooting up, you know, people and stuff, you know, and I'm not saying all people do that, but it's just like, you know, you got to be very careful. You just got to be careful with who you let have a gun in their hand. And I'm not saying that all people are doing that, but it's just, that's something that came out of my mind, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like you say, they may have a flashback, people who served overseas and in combat. And I didn't agree with, I know women fought for the right to serve in combat, but I always thought that was a bad mistake, because you've got these women coming back all mutilated, and I guess, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and women want rights and what have you, but I just don't think women should be serving in combat.
In the recent years, the reports that we get how women have, you know, are treated and they're sadly raped and all, it's
and they go
it's
to
heartbreaking.
Cafeterias, nothing's done about it, and then they take the retaliation against the woman. I don't know. At least in corporate America, you know, you have the right to sue, but you don't have that right in the military.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what?
That is wow.
And you know what, Bethany? It's kind of funny that you're talking about this, because eventually I think I might do a paper, write a paper on you know, because I saw this writing prompt I was telling you about, how I do the New York Times writing prompt, and it asks, what would you investigate?
Yes.
Yeah. And then one day I was like, I might write about what would you investigate, you know, as to why are the members of the U.S. Armed Forces being treated so poorly. And, you know, it's just like, in a way, I'm kind of afraid I'm going to come across some sensitive information, but, you know.
Right. Like Cousin Linda have given me a homework assignment, and she doesn't realize that the Malai massacre, I'm feeling I need to do a follow-up on where are they now. The soldiers, those 20-something soldiers that committed those war crimes.
I told you one of them.
So please
naked.
Keep us updated on that, Michael.
And you know,
Linda?
Said I know where one of them is, and he's dead. You know, the one I told you committed suicide.
Right. The one that you couldn't even talk about, right? Right.
And before I'm going to go to bed after this, but I got to say one last thing. But I found out that it was very possible that the U.S. Armed Forces, somebody high up in the U.S. Armed Forces, had something to do with the Kent State University shooting. I don't know if Ms. Linda remembers that.
I remember that very vividly, but I certainly didn't know. I hadn't heard that rumor or somebody in the military had something to do with it, you said?
Yeah, because what they were doing, somebody ordered those shots. And me and my professor, who's my mentor, and he was my teacher last fall, and he was saying that they're trying to find out who gave those orders. You cannot find. It's almost like when January 6th happened. It's so hard to find the needle in the haystack. So, you know, when you put those two together, you know, it's like when all the big stuff happened, it's really hard to find out who's in charge. And whoever made that happen,
right,
they are working very hard to stay anonymous. Like that person who wrote that book, remember Anonymous, about what was going on in the White House a couple of years ago? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you
right.
can't find that. Yeah, that person wants to stay anonymous.
You make me think about my late friend, or friend to many of us, Cousin Linda protested with his late brother, the late Charles Evers. When I was working with Mr. Evers after doing a fundraiser for the radio station, and he brought me in to work with him, some of my friends who are rappers, we were in his office, and one of the guys asked him, well, what are your thoughts regarding Beckwith? Because that's when they were reopening the case. And that's exactly what Mr. Evers said. He said, well, he's that one person. But it was a system that killed my brother. So you're right. Who ordered the shot? Who ordered Beckwith is what he was saying. Like, yeah, Beckwith was the trigger. But he said it was the system. Yeah.
Well, that's like James Earl Ray, and he, you know, admitted killing Dr. King because he was so sure he was going to get off, because whoever told him to do it probably had told him, oh, you're not going to serve any time, because all the other folks not doing any jail time, you know, having these mock trials. And then when James Earl Ray had to end up going to prison, yet he wanted to talk. But people wouldn't listen to him, you know, and I think he feared for his life, too, because those, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we can have you bumped off at any time. So, yeah.
Well, look, ladies, I'm going to bed, and you all have a blessed life.
What is your takeaway before you head off? And we're going to be concluding in about 10 minutes. I'm going to share some information, some resources for veterans right after we do our takeaways. So what is your takeaway?
Well, my takeaway is, you know, if you're gonna join the U.S. Armed Forces, to people who are thinking about it, think about it. Think about it deeply. Look at the pros and cons and just really see if it's for you. I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't do it, but think about it, because know that you're going to come out a different person. And you got to notice that the people around you will like that different person you will be. And don't be afraid of help if you realize that you have mental health issues. You know, don't be ashamed of it, because you're not alone, you know?
Yeah, good pearls of wisdom.
Right.
Yeah. Well, look, ladies,
right.
I'm going to bed, and you all have a blessed.
Well, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
And happy birthday weekend to you. And
good night.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday. Bye-bye.
Happy birthday. Yay. Yes.
I thought you were going to be this weekend there.
Next month.
I
gave you the date. Next month. I messaged you last week. You mentioned you and Fate and your friend Mike would be going out of town spring break, and I had mentioned to you that I might would come in spring break, but I had DM'd you that I would be there next week, and I gave you the date. So
okay,
read your DMs.
When you was talking about
you and Laverne and Fate might would go out of town, go to Hawaii or somewhere for spring break,
well,
I had mentioned I might would come a spring break week. But I changed I DM'd you information that I had changed my plans from spring break week to a week next month. And you gave me the thumbs up.
I did?
Yes, I gave you the information in, yeah.
Okay, I don't know what happened then, because I was still thinking that it was this weekend that you were coming over.
When you had mentioned you and Fate and Laverne might be going out of town, that Fate will drive his RV over there for spring break, I said, I might be there that week, and that was a month ago. And so I changed my plans from spring break week to next month.
Okay.
And I DM'd you the information ASAP, and you gave me the thumbs up.
Oh, okay, honey. I don't know. Like I said, I've been getting so many messages and so much
Facebook. Because it's certain people that I gave the dates to ahead of time, so you all would know when I'm there so we can see each other. And other people, they'll know when I get there. And other people will know when I get there. Yeah.
Okay.
But you gave me the thumbs up. Yeah,
okay,
but what happened to you and Laverne and Fate?
We ain't heard from Fate. We don't know what happened to him. And look, and one of us was in condition to go anywhere because we so tired and broke down from them crazy children. Until we didn't have the energy.
But look, I'm so glad I changed my plans from spring break weekend, because a little winter storm came through there last weekend, huh? Came through Dallas. We had a little cold snap here.
Last Friday, last Wednesday and Thursday, they were talking about we might get some ice and snow and all that, but nothing hit the Dallas area where I am. I think,
yes.
I think Arlington or somebody may have seen some snow or a little ice.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It had been so warm earlier in the week until it didn't get cold enough. I think it stayed around 36, but it would get cold at night.
Uh-huh.
And warm in the daytime, because Friday I didn't know whether or not we were going to have school, or if we went to school that we were going to get out early. And I know when the kids came in for the fifth period, they were saying it was cold and rainy, but it wasn't cold enough for ice or snow or anything. So
right.
That didn't last.
But
Saturday I think was in the 70s.
Well. Because I think the snow flurries came return to Canton area, but didn't stick. And I think we could see a little snow flurries, but it didn't stick. It was just some white particles in the air that weekend too, last Saturday. But you know, it was cold early part of the week, but it was beautiful weather today. Now overnight it stormed, it rocked and rolled. It was like Texas thunderstorms, lightning and thunder and just rocking and rolling from 3 to 9, and then it remained gloomy, and then around lunchtime the sun came out, and it's been out all day, and I think the weekend would be a beautiful first day of spring weekend.
I think we're supposed to get some really, really springish weather. In fact, it might be about 80 tomorrow. But, yeah, my friend called me and told me about how bad that thunder and lightning and stuff was last night and how scared he got.
Right.
So it must have been bad.
Right.
If it scared him.
Uh-huh. But look at the DMs, and I give the dates again, because I mentioned that I hope to lunch and dine with you and your family of friends. Oh, we can make it to South Bay, but I know we'll make it somewhere interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I know we'll make it somewhere interesting. Yes, but I want to provide some resources. I love both of your stories, and it definitely was a good conversation. I wish, I hope we hear from veterans' family members. So some people don't realize, and you make a good point. It's not just the veterans, but it's their family also, wives, husbands, kids, parents, siblings, the family members, the immediate family and friends all involved in what happens with our soldiers that are active duty and those that are retired. But of course, contact. I mean, many of you are. Cousin Linda makes a good point, and Michael too. With the Veteran Affairs, either they're low staffed in some departments, or you don't get appointments fast enough regarding counseling and the other departments. So
yeah, problems with veterans getting services that they need over here in Dallas, and they closed so many VA hospitals too.
Right.
I can't understand. Because
I can't understand that.
Did they close?
Oh, it's still open. It's still here at the UMC, and many people that I know take advantage of the Veterans Affairs of the VA hospital. But then there are some, you know, that still don't get everything that they need. But I hear high praises because I think that they renovated and they remodeled and they restructured some programs. I don't hear anything negative about our VA hospital.
Okay, well, you know, they used to have a separate VA. I think it was the GV Sonny Montgomery Veterans Center or whatever.
Oh,
it wasn't at UMC. Mm-hmm. And I think that one was just really pitiful. But I have a friend
one was like near Clinton, wasn't it? Wasn't that one like in South Jack? Near Clinton?
It was off Woodrow Wilson. It was the VA hospital.
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't hear anything negative about that one. I only hear praises about that one.
You're saying UMMC? That's the university hospital.
Oh no, I was just saying the one. I was saying located near UMMC, the one that's located near the campus. Yeah, because that's how most people go to it. Through through the same entrance, you know, it's located in between UMC. It's located next to the Children's Hospital, and also before you get to the DMV, it's right there in the middle, directly across from Murrow High School.
Okay, because I know
I only hear praises from the VA, from my friends that go there, and from friends that work there. And nurses and doctors that I meet that work there, and from veterans, I only hear good things. Thank God. But they did a lot of restructuring in recent years at Montgomery. And
hello.